the Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, and her warning that a no-deal Brexit could slash support for Northern Ireland remaining in the UK. In her New Year message, the Conservative MP says that the EU's original plan to split the UK in two has been scuppered, but she insists a no-deal scenario could instead spark a fall in support for the union itself. What do you reckon? The phone lines are open 030 30 80 55 55. Let's speak to the TV leader and MLA, Jim Allister. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning and happy New Year.
And same to you, and to Frank Shivers from the NI Conservatives. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Vinny. Good morning, Jim.
So, Jim, morning. We'll start with you. This is in contrast to warnings from unionists who insist that it's the Prime Minister, Theresa May, and her Brexit deal that is the real threat to the union, because they say it would put a border down the Irish Sea. So which is it?
Well, it quite clearly is what the Conservative Party and Government Attorney General said. And I just wonder, did Mrs. Bradley never read the Attorney General's advices, which the government tried to hide for so long, or did she not understand them? Because paragraph 7 of the document that the Attorney General issued is very clear. It says this, and I quote, Northern Ireland remains in the EU's customs union and will apply the whole of the EU customs acquis, that's the EU law, and the Commission and the European Court of Justice will continue to have jurisdiction over its compliance with those rules. Paragraph 8 of the Attorney General goes on to say, he quantifies that to mean that Northern Ireland will be subject to 300 different legal instruments applicable only to this part of the UK, over which the EU will have total jurisdiction. So it's quite clear that Mrs. Bradley is at best being disingenuous and economical with the truth when she talks about they stopped the breakup of the United Kingdom.
And of course, Karen Bradley would deny that as well, and would say that she is basically saying exactly how she feels and how she has interpreted where we are
at
this
point. She should go back and read her own Attorney General's advices, because what they have done in the backstop, if it were ever to be implemented, is exactly what the EU wanted, to break up the United Kingdom, because we would stay within the EU customs union legally. We'd be part of it, which means the EU border for tariffs and customs would be pushed to the Irish Sea.
And this is, again, if, Jim, that was actually implemented.
This is Mrs. May's proposal. The backstop is Mrs. May is embraced in Mrs. May's proposal. So, yes, if it was implemented, if MPs were foolish enough to vote for it.
Okay, Frank Shivers, you've heard from Jim there.
We will be here.
He set a stall out, Frank. What do you think?
Well, I think that a lot of our unionist leaders are in Northern Ireland are sleepwalking us into United Ireland, and this continual no scenario of anything that seems to be an economic prosperous deal or advantage in Northern Ireland is just met with resistance. I think the big thing that Jim said there was, if the backstop was to be implemented, nobody has any wish for a backstop. That is an insurance put in by the EU that was just cannot be negotiated. I think Theresa May, the Prime Minister, has made an absolute fantastic approach in relation to trying to get us out and look at the referendum result. You know, it was very close. So no matter what she does, she's between a rock and a hard place. You're going to get various people saying it doesn't go far enough, it doesn't get us out, and you're going to have the Remainers going, oh, well, it's too far. So, you know, there has to be a happy medium. But as a business person in Northern Ireland, I see this deal as a real economic advantage for us. And I think the biggest problem as a unionist, the biggest issue we have in Northern Ireland is if we go into an economic meltdown where the economic unionists, so-called economic unionists, who vote for a United Ireland in their heart, but because of the economic advantages we have in Northern Ireland, vote to remain in the UK. And if we lose that, a lot of those economic unionists, we're going to lose them as well.
In this New Year message...
Sorry, could I make 2 points?
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
If I could. First of all, I think Frank is totally misguided in thinking that the backstop will never happen. The backstop is the legal default position. If there is no trade deal,
Both the British government and the EU have said that they don't want, they have no desire for a backstop.
Yes, but Frank, the point Jim is making there is you have to accept it is a possibility.
It's part of the deal. It's part of a negotiation that if the British government and the EU can't get to settlements on various things, then the backstop will kick in.
Let's be very clear. If at the end of the transition period, which is the end of 2020, there is no trade deal, then the backstop legally, unavoidably, kicks in. And the backstop then drives the customs union border to the Irish Sea. That's before we even come to the point that trade from GB to Northern Ireland, that essential link in our economic chain, is going to be subject to the customs and the tariffs and the regulations, which will then be different between GB and Northern Ireland, and that will create the border down the Irish Sea. So it is foolhardy for Frank or anyone else to pretend that this will never happen. This is the default position that will happen unless something from the same parties who won't agree anything comes about to replace it. So that's the first reality. The second is...
Let him respond to that. Let's come back to Frank on that.
Jim, when you say if, we have a full year then to negotiate a deal...
2 years.
Sorry, when we come out...
But rolled over.
Jim, you know as well as I, we cannot start negotiating that until we are out of Brexit. So we have a full year and we have...
Okay, Jim, just let him make his point and we'll come back to you, Jim. Frank, go ahead.
We have the British government who have said they're both committed to doing a deal and sorting out the various deals one after that 29th of March. So the likelihood of that backstop coming in, and I appreciate, yes, I don't want the backstop. Nobody wants a backstop, including the EU Commission and including the British government. But it has to be in there as part of the negotiation. The EU have said it. So it's incumbent on everybody, the British government and the EU, to come up with a deal within that year. And I'm very confident that with both of them doing that, that we can achieve that without even going into the backstop. So I think, you know, you need to have a bit of faith. And what I would suggest is that in your position as a political representative, that you do your utmost to get us to a deal as well.
Well, let me say this. If Frank is saying that the answer for Northern Ireland is to put our faith in the bona fides of Mr. Juncker, for example, that he wishes us well, then he's a fool, because it's quite clear that EU ambition has been to break up the United Kingdom as a punishment for any country that would dare to leave. But the point is this. I've never seen a worse negotiation. I've never seen a situation more obvious with a cart.
There's never been a negotiation like this to this degree, Jim.
Let's deal with it. Why did the United Kingdom agree to put the cart before the horse? You only need to talk about a backstop if you can't get a trade deal. So why don't you organise the trade deal and then see what you need on the border?
Okay, Frank Sivers.
Put the cart before the horse, which is what's been done.
You know what's happened.
Done for the purpose of putting us in a bind.
Jim, when politicians like you have stuck their head in their sand and said no, 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 the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, which includes Northern Ireland, as you're aware, has got up and made the best of a bad bunch, of a bad deal, and moved forward. You've got to remember, the Prime Minister was actually a Remainer. She thought she wanted, or she agreed
obviously,
she wanted to stay. And sorry, if you
obviously.
And she has fulfilled the wish of the democracy and
no,
the
she is not. We voted to leave. We didn't vote for a sellout deal. We voted.
And what was your vote to leave? We're coming out of the EU. There's a backstop.
We're coming out in name only. In Northern Ireland is staying in the EU's customs territory. We're staying
and
part of the EU's customs union. The essential
for our region
of being a member of the EU.
Okay, 030-30-80-55-55. Let's take our first call.
There's one other point.
We'll come back to that in a second. Jim in Hillsborough, you've got a point for Jim Allister.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, he's listening.
Number one, I want to wish Jim Allister a very happy new year to his wife and family. I have listened to Jim Allister for years talking, And Jim Allister would be one of the best speaking men ever I've listened to, and a man with a brain
in his
head. Okay,
do you have a point for him, Jim?
Yes, I have a point for Jim. Jim, I want to ask you one question. If you took 5,000 to the bank on Monday morning and put it in, and you're back in 2 months' time, and there was only £1,000 there, Jim, me and you, if we done that, we wouldn't be too happy. And I don't think anybody would be too happy. So for every pound the British government put into the EU, they got 10p back. So it's not a bit of wonder, Jim, we're looking out of it. And Jim, you're like me. We never should have been in it.
Okay, I think you've got a fan there, Jim, but thank you for that, well, Jim in Hillsborough.
Happy New Year. And the man is right that, you know, for 43 years, we have been a net contributor of gross proportions into the EU. We've been pouring billions into the black hole that is Europe.
Okay.
And now Mrs. May says we should pour in another $39 billion.
Let's go back, Jim Allister, to that issue that we talked about at the very start of the programme. Have you any concerns about a fall in support for the union itself if things continue as they have?
No, I haven't, because I think that a proper Brexit, one where we leave in a clean-cut manner and enables the EU to then follow the growth in the world and have our trade deals where the growth in the world is, and abandon the moribund EU, is something which will strengthen the union.
Yeah, but you've said yourself, Jim, you don't believe that is what is happening at this point.
Let me explain that. If we have a proper Brexit and we then can embrace the growth in the world through trade deals, that will bring prosperity to the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but Jim, you're ignoring the actual question.
I'm coming to your point, but I must make this point. There is nothing that will cement the union like prosperity, and a proper Brexit guarantees prosperity. And when you,
Jim, if you could get just to, because we're pushed for time and we've given you plenty of airtime this morning already, so just to address that question,
given where we are at this point and
how you've reflected back on how negotiations have been going, on how Theresa May herself has handled this, do you believe at this point there is any threat, or there could be, to people and the support for the union looking elsewhere, looking to the United Ireland?
Vinny, I don't have to be on your programme, and I'm not going to be on it if you don't let me make my point. I will deal with your issue, but I'm going to make this point first of all. And I'm sorry it's the third time I've had to attempt to make it, and we'd have been through this point a long time ago if you'd let me make it.
Well, could you make it
there? If you'd answered the question, Jim, we'd have been through it.
Well, I don't need any exhortation from anyone to answer a question. I don't duck or dive at questions.
Well, answer the question, Jim. Do you believe Frank
wants to answer questions, maybe he should tell us, does he believe his Attorney General's advice? But let me deal with the issue. A proper Brexit delivers prosperity. Prosperity cements the union. You would then be left, the only people wanting to break up the union, be they Scottish nationalists or Irish nationals, be those who want to put their ideology before prosperity. And that is why nationalism is so fearful of Brexit, because they recognise that a proper Brexit will strengthen the union, because it will make the United Kingdom more prosperous, and therefore make people want to stay in the United Kingdom. But to come to your point, Vinny, are we getting that? No, we're not. We're getting a mongrel Brexit, which is Brexit in name only, which will not strengthen the union, which will diminish the union, because it will leave us annexed in the EU, part of their customs union, no less, subject to the entirety of their EU ECJ supervision, whereas the rest of the United Kingdom can go elsewhere, and we are split off and economically divided from them, and that division will grow. So the present proposals will diminish the union. A proper Brexit will enhance the union.
And given what you've just said, Jim, do you have any concerns, therefore, about the support here for the union itself?
I have no concerns if we get a proper Brexit. No concerns whatsoever. I see it growing.
Okay. Can I ask then your thoughts on the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg, and when he says it could take up to 50 years to actually reap the benefits of Brexit?
I'm not sure that that's exactly what Rees-Mogg said. I think what he did say was that for 50 years, we will see the benefits burgeoning and increasing. And yes, we were 43 years in the EU, 43 wasted years in many regard. We won't recover from that overnight. But once we re-establish ourselves and go after the growth in the world, let me remind your listeners.
Okay.
Only 15% of the world's economy is found in the EU27. The other 85% is elsewhere. No one in their right mind would think that your prosperity lies in hamstringing yourself to 15% of the world's economy instead of chasing where the growth is.
But this deal, Prime Minister does allow us to chase various other...
It doesn't. How can you do it with any third
country? Let Frank talk, please, Jim.
Jim, that's completely wrong what you're saying. This deal does allow the British government to go and chase deals in non-EU states.
Not for Northern Ireland.
They do. This deal provides the best. Jim, if you let me finish, because I was very quiet when you were talking there, and you had quite a long time. So, this deal gives Northern Ireland the best of both worlds. It allows us still to have the benefits of the EU for a short time until we renegotiate properly and Northern Ireland comes out of that. But it also allows us to have the benefits of the UK negotiating with other countries outside the EU. Now, that,
you're wrong.
Whether you want to admit it or not, has
no,
got
you are wrong, Frank.
Advantage
you don't
to our
understand,
region.
And obviously, if we stay in the EU customs union, then only the EU can negotiate our trade deals. That's Northern Ireland. We will not be part of the negotiation of trade deals for a customs territory that is GB and does not include Northern Ireland. That's
you're wrong,
elementary
Jim.
In trade. I'm not wrong.
Sorry, I would argue.
Okay. You've made your point, Jim. Let's just try and get Frank back in again.
Negotiate trade deals.
Okay,
for
Jim Allister,
Union,
Jim,
which is their
if
territory.
We can try and have a conversation about this instead of big long monologues. Frank, you respond to Jim, and then Jim will bring you back in.
Well, Jim, you're completely wrong. It gives us the best of both worlds, and that's why the likes of the CBI, our local manufacturing NI, all of the, including the Farmers Union, have said it's economic advantageous for Northern Ireland to have that. They'll have the best of both worlds. Now, that's fact, Jim. Please don't try to change that. And my point would be the uncertainty of coming out of a Brexit without a deal would give us a problem in relation to people. There would be an economic downturn potentially, and even if that was only a 6 months or a year's downturn, that effect on our economy in Northern Ireland would be devastating. And I'm in business, and trust me, it's maybe slightly different for yourself. No matter what happens, whether you turn up the storm or not, you still get your money. But when I'm negotiating any deal, there's some good bits and there's some bad bits. And sometimes you've just got to go, right, not overly happy with that, but the outcome eventually is going to be good for my business and I'm going to move forward on it. So this in transient, no, without any other solution than just let's all go out and go WTO, it's too much of a risk for Northern Ireland economy.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank, as a businessman, that you don't understand the Attorney General's advices, that you don't understand that if Northern Ireland, under the backstop, stays in the EU customs union, that legally...
But it still has the advantage
Kingdom,
of
sorry,
the
you,
United
you were
Kingdom.
The one lecturing about, you were the one lecturing about interrupting. That if we stay within the EU's customs union, then the United Kingdom can never negotiate a trade deal that applies to us, because only the EU can negotiate trade deals for its customs union. And if we under the backstop stay in its customs union, then it's the EU's trade deals, not the UK's trade deals that will apply to us.
But Jim,
as
we won't be
the best.
The likelihood is
we'll
be in the backstop.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Martin. Good morning to you,
where
Martin.
You're totally wrong.
Hello there.
Good morning, Martin.
Guys. Maybe you guys need to take a big chill pill there. But anyway, I just wanted to preface my comment by saying the only time I ever know, or I seem to think that Jim would ever laugh, whenever Linfield beat Cliftonville and whenever Rangers beat Celtic. It just seems as if he comes at this from a fairly, just a very unpragmatic perspective. Now, I voted no because I thought I needed to get out of Europe on the basis of us actually taking back control of our own destiny. Now, the thing is, with regards to Northern Ireland, there is a separate situation, and we have to actually look at it pragmatically. Now, the last point I wanted to make is, whenever I was listening to the interview, you should be showing courtesy to the other individuals. Now, every time the gentleman, Frank, spoke, Jim always intervened and interrupted. You know, Jim, you have to show some courtesy to other people. That's my point.
Okay. Well, Jim, if you want to address the initial point that he made there, he's made his other point.
I'm not quite sure I understood what the first point was.
I just think you're coming out from a very unionist, dominated perspective. It's not, you're not actually looking at the whole picture.
Forgive me for being a unionist, please.
I'm not a
unionist. I want to maintain the union. That's why I am utterly opposed to a backstop arrangement which will destroy the union and leave us in a waiting room for a united
Ireland.
But,
Jim, going back to the issue that Martin is making there, that he thinks the deal on the table is a pragmatic solution. It's the best situation that we could have hoped for.
Sorry, it is not, in his words, the best of both worlds. It is the worst because it cuts us off from the future prosperity of UK trade deals. It leaves with all our goods, which are coming from GB to Northern Ireland, subject to a regulatory border and checks. It leaves us subject to the EU customs tariffs. It leaves us, as the Attorney General has said, subject to 300 regulatory rules affecting goods that don't apply in the rest of the United Kingdom, and they're in.
But Jim, that's a last-ditch scenario.
Border. That's
Can I make a comment, please?
That's the scenario that you're inevitably headed to.
Martin, you want back
EU,
in there?
Which is determined to punish Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Or otherwise, we wouldn't be in this situation. We have had a negotiation.
Okay, let's let Martin back in, Jim, and we can have a conversation about this. Martin, you want back in there?
Yeah. It depends on what perspective you look at this. You know, if you completely look at everything from a negative perspective, you're not getting anywhere in life. Now, in this particular case, this could also be a great opportunity for us because we'd be in a unique scenario where we'd be having access to the EU and at the same time having access to the rest of the world. Now, Northern Ireland would be in a very, very unique position. Like, for instance, you can have an Irish passport and a British passport. You can go and work in Europe. You can also work in Northern Ireland. There's great opportunities here, and that also would create great opportunities for companies that would station and place their businesses in Northern Ireland because they get access to the EU and also get access to the United Kingdom. It depends what way you look at things. Now, if you look at everything from a particular lens that Jim operates on,
I don't think that's necessarily fair, Martin. Jim has very much, and many times this morning, said out why he feels that way, and it's not because he's looking at everything through a negative lens. Let me just bring in another call. Jim Wilson, you want to talk to Jim Alistair?
No, it's more Frank.
Frank's listening.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, it's not very often I agree with Jim, but I do agree with his point somebody's making there today. You know, Frank, you say you're a businessman and you do deals. Can you tell me of any deal that you've ever done that you've given the people that you're dealing with a royal flush before you even start to deal with them? Because this is exactly what the British government have done with the EU. They've given them all the deck of cards to play with, to turn around. Whenever it comes to try and make this deal that's supposed to happen within and before the backstop, that they have the ace of trumps and all the cards when it comes to this, because what they're actually doing, they're putting ourselves into a position where the backstop is a veto. And we argued this with certain individuals in the British government who couldn't and hadn't got the guts to tell us face to face, and I'm talking about high-ranking people within the British government, couldn't tell us that the EU had a veto. We had the trailer out of them that the EU had the veto. And when you have the veto and you have the top hand, then your deals will be the deals that will be going through and which will not be conducive to being good for the United Kingdom. So explain to me, Frank, where you think this could be a good deal when they have all the trump cards. Thank you.
Well, they always did. The EU always did have the trump cards, because when we decided we were going to go out, we were negotiating a divorce type scenario. So, you know, we wanted out of what...
No, the backstop gives them the card.
Sorry, if you let me answer... And you're gonna let me finish, yeah?
Oh, yeah, but I want to respond. Go ahead.
So for me as a business person, if I have an opportunity to still trade with all the benefits of the EU, with a slight bit of regulation, and we also have the benefit of trading with other countries through our part of the UK... then how can that not be advantageous? Don't get me wrong. I voted out. I wanted our own future. I wanted the UK. And as a committed unionist, You know, I want to bring nationalists. Sorry, I want to bring nationalists along with me, and I want them to see the benefits of being in the union.
You're not answering the question. The question was: Would you give someone you're negotiating with all the cards and all the up hands that they would have over you in a business deal? Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't. What I'm saying is, I think we're at the stage where we are. Don't get me wrong. This is not the best deal, the ideal deal that I would want as a Brexiteer. Absolutely not. It certainly isn't. But it is the best that can be negotiated at the moment. And I think with taking this deal, it gives us another year to further negotiate to get completely away. I don't think the backstop will ever come in. I appreciate what you're saying. There's a veto there. But I don't think there's any. Once we're out and once the UK are coming out of it, I think that the EU are going to go, right, we now appreciate the benefits of the UK trading with us, and we're going to negotiate a proper deal. I don't think the backstop will ever come in.
Okay. Frank Shivers, thank you. And Jim Allister, thank you as well.